Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
The only people who don't get time off this time of year are pro athletes and Bet Online. That's right, the back end of the NFL and, of course, the NBA, NHL, golf, Masters, you name it, all the sports coming up together here. Bet Online isn't taking a second off to make sure you have all the up-to-the-second odds, news, and info. Bet Online has all the sports wagering info available you need with both desktop and mobile access. Head there today to get into the action. And remember to use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. Hey, friends of the ML Sports Platter, you know what? There is no such thing as downtime here on the show. Even during the various off seasons, I'm thinking about free agent signings, coaching changes, draft picks, and more. St. Bonaventure University kickstarted my journalism career. They have a long-standing reputation for training award-winning journalists like Woj from ESPN and Mike Vaccaro at the New York Post. Back when we all got our degrees, we attended SBU's campus in upstate New York. These days, you can earn your Master of Arts in Sports Journalism from the comfort of your home. Visit SBUjournalism.com. That's SBUjournalism.com to learn how students follow high professional standards while telling nuanced stories about the sports we love. Schedule some time with one of their super helpful enrollment advisors to guide you through their course content, program outcomes, and where the program could lead you. You'll not only learn from experienced faculty, but also accomplished alums who shape the program. You don't need any writing or broadcasting experience to apply, and there's no application fee or GMAT requirement. The program is entirely online and can be completed in less than 2 years. How about that? What are you waiting for? Head on over to SBUjournalism.com today to learn more. That's SBUjournalism.com.
Hi, this is Cal Ripken Jr., and you're listening to the ML Sports Platter.
ML Sports Platter brought to you by Welch & Company Jewelers, Barks & Rec Doggy Daycare, Bonnet Sales & Service, and Burn Dairy. Hey, go gas up your vehicle at participating locations if you're in and around Central New York. Burn Dairy, it's all good. And a tip of the cap thank you as well to friends of the program, Daryl Abert, Bob Lindsley, and the Swan and Whitaker families. We bring him in, the Lacrosse Hall of Famer, a guy who I love to talk to and have had him on many, many shows. We're going to get into some SU hoops and to some SU lacks. It's my guy, Charlie Lockwood. Charlie, welcome back.
Great to be back, Mike. It has been a while, and look forward to talking a little Cuse hoop and Cuse lacks.
Yeah, no doubt. And so one of my favorite things, just so people know, is when SU basketball has a horrific loss, I'm ready to go grabbing my phone and maybe 6:45, 7 to see how many texts Charlie Lockwood throws my way on a Sunday morning or a Saturday. So just letting you know that.
Yeah, you know, and that's okay. I mean, you got to be able to talk about and text and communicate with someone that has the similar interest, and I know you do. I'm passionate about, obviously, Cuse athletics, and, you know, my former teammate at Syracuse, you know, Red Autry's, you know, taking on a huge challenge, you know, by stepping into the role of head coach at Syracuse and all the pressure that comes with that, you know.
There's no doubt about it. But what bothers, I mean, I know that you and I have texted privately about a lot of stuff with this program, but, you know, what is it that bothers you the most? I've seen all the things that bother you, but what's the thing that bothers you the most? Is it the blowout, you know, part where they get into that at Virginia, at Duke, at Carolina, at Wake situation? Is it losing to a couple of teams that are in your wheelhouse or maybe below your wheelhouse? Is it the overall state of the pro? I mean, this is a transition year, obviously, as we know, and you just alluded to it. Is it something else? Is it the way they play? Is it the system that you don't like? What's your number one pain here?
Mike, I think, you know, again, I'm a passionate Syracuse alum. So I think that's important to know, because sometimes, you know, I know you're a Bonnie guy, you know what I mean? But it's your job to report on Syracuse hoops. as objectively and, you know, neutral as you can. But, you know, when I think about, like, the Syracuse program this year, the one thing that stands out for me, Mike, and I've been so close to this program for 30, 35 years, going back to Pearl Washington, you know, he was my favorite player, and being able to walk onto the team and being part of Jim Boeheim's program was awesome. For all the years that I can remember, Mike, I've never seen a team that going against like competition or maybe a step above us talent-wise on paper, where when we get into certain situations in the game and we're down 10, 15, 20 points, I feel as a you know, just a super fan that I have the feeling inside, and I know this is awful to say, but I just don't feel like we can come back because we're getting down by 10 or 15 points in some of these games, Mike, and then it balloons out to 20, 25, potentially 30. And it seems like when we get into adversity and we're dealing with things and things aren't going our way, the other team goes on a 10-0 run, 12-0 run, whatever it is, it seems like on the offensive end too that the continuity starts to break down. It seems like guys are doing maybe a little bit more one-on-one and other guys are watching.
And it happens fast.
And we're settling for 18 and 20-foot
right
off-balance jump shots.
And it happens
not
fast.
Exactly textbook.
Yeah, and it happens fast, right? I mean, it's like miss, they get three. Miss, three, another turnover, a bucket.
And down 15.
Yeah, boom, in a snap of a finger. In fact, the Wake Forest game bothered me the most, and I'm sure you would agree, because they're in that group of like, okay, kind of like you, maybe a little bit below, whatever. And I know it's a road game, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but I had to add this in to what you just said. At Duke, at Carolina, I can always just go, okay. Like, Duke, Carolina are on another level. And I, you know, for as much as Syracuse fans love their team and they want to, you're never going to be them. Just like Clemson and Alabama ruled college football, sometimes you just deal with it. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, as we talk, they just did it again. Sometimes you just go, okay, they're them and we're us, and no matter how hard you try, you're never going to be Tiger Woods. But when you lose to Wake that way, and Charlie, in the first 5 minutes, that game was over.
Yeah.
That's the one that gets me more than Duke, Carolina, Virginia, any of them. It's those ones right there.
Mike, I don't care, and it's hard for me to accept this, so I'm just going to say it. In no world that I come from or planet that anyone comes from should Syracuse University basketball not be competitive with these teams. And by competitive, this is what I mean. It doesn't mean that they run the table and they beat Duke at Duke or North Carolina at North Carolina. But come on, they need to be competitive. And when I say competitive, I'm talking like, you know, 8-10 points, you know, in the last few minutes of the game, Mike.
Yeah.
You and I are on the edge of our seat in a 1, 2, or 3 possession game where we're starting to do the math in our head. Okay, it's only 2 possessions. If they miss a foul shot, we got to do is bang a 3. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, yeah.
That's when it gets interesting and competitive in games. You know, the last 2 or 3 minutes of 6 out of their 7 losses, maybe – well, at least 5 of them, the game has been over.
Oh, way over.
It was way over.
Yeah.
We're not sitting on the edge of our seats in the last 2 minutes biting our nails. That's just not the way it's working. So to me, that's been the most disappointing thing. And I, in all my years with Coach Boeheim, I don't remember this many losses in uncompetitive situations. So I don't know what the combination is, but like the recent news, like with Benny Williams, you know, being let go off the team, it was obvious then, Mike, that it's not just on the court performance here. There were some things going on behind the scenes, and Benny Williams is a well-documented situation with him. This didn't start last week or the week before that. This has been going on for a couple years, okay? And so hopefully that's it. Like, we don't know. I mean, Mike, we're only privy to certain news and things that are, you know, told to you and things that I hear and things like that, but who knows? Maybe there's some other things going on.
Or when you do see on camera that he and Red Autry bumped each other, right?
That's crazy.
Okay. Now, Wes Durham. Hey, Wes Durham. I was doing a game with Wes Durham, and it was Wes Durham and Dan Bonner. It was that game. And Wes, they seemed to think, oh, you know, they were just kind of walking. I completely disagreed. I thought completely and utterly right on camera, they absolutely bumped each other and they meant to.
Mike, the thought that was going through my head, and this is complete speculation, right? I'm speculating now. But when the university sees that, right, whether it's the athletic director, the chancellor, whatever, the thing that goes through my mind is that's completely unacceptable.
Yeah.
And I'm going to guess that the coaching staff probably got a little phone call or something like that within hours of that happening, saying this needs to be swiftly dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is just a horrible look for a program. And first, like, Adrian Autry's got enough pressure on him right now to win.
Yep.
He doesn't need that shit. Stuff going
on. No, that's a podcast. You can drop anything you want here, pal.
So he doesn't need that going on.
Right.
So to me, it's like there's one thing with the competitive nature of some of these blowout losses, okay, that bothers me. And I think if you're an ultra competitor like I am, Mike, that bothers anybody. Like, you want to be competitive. So that's one. And number two, if there's things behind the scenes that need to be dealt with, then clean house and start this thing over. Because we both know, Mike, Adrian Autry, you know, he's still unproven as a coach because, you know, he's only been there less than a year. But it seems like him and his staff are doing a decent job recruiting, okay?
Yeah.
There's guys in the pipeline, so that should give Syracuse fans some hope.
McDonald's All-Americans in the pipeline.
Exactly, and you need that, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You need that to be able to compete. So, you know, like the new football coach, Fran Brown, we don't know if he can really coach yet, Mike, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a fact. We don't know that. But we know he's a hell of a recruiter. If Adrian Autry can fill the pipe and get players here and he can coach, we're going to be back.
You know?
I think this year has been tough for a lot of diehard Syracuse fans, and I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that, Mike.
No, there's not, but it's funny because I think if Jim were head coach, I think they'd be the exact same team about in the same record at least. That's the thing that's funny. Like, okay, the blowouts are what they are. But look, they needed a buzzer beater to beat Miami. I get that, right? The Wake and BC road losses clearly, I think, is the bottom barrel of the season. I think that's the worst part of it. But they've shown the ability to rebound. They get blown out against Virginia, then they win five in a row. Blown out against Duke after being in the first half, beat BC. Blown out against Carolina, win two in a row with the Q buzzer beater, right? Then it's lost Florida State, blown out, come back, beat NC State. But now you lose 3 of 4. We're recording this before the North Carolina game, so we'll see what happens there. We're not even going to get into it because I think Carolina.
And let's be honest, Mike. Too,
you're going to run the floor.
Feel for them because
you do
with everything that we just mentioned.
You do.
You know they had a chance this weekend to knock Clemson off, right?
No doubt.
They pulled it to even 60-60. You know,
60-60. Yeah.
And then you know as the season like sort of like a snapshot of their season. A couple of quick little things here and there, and boom, it was 6 or 8 points, and everyone was heading to the exits. And Mike, that's been their season.
Yeah, it has. Well, they haven't put it together. Yeah, they haven't put it together for 40 minutes, and they put together these 8 to 12 minute stretches that are like, wow, and then they fall apart. And listen, you're not going to win games also when you start double bogey, double bogey, double bogey, because you know you got to get pars and birdies to get back in it. A lot of heat to try to do that. And sorry, Charlie, 41 to 24 on the glass when you're the 24, you ain't going to beat really many other teams. You know, Clemson's a really good team. I think they're going to be going on a run. I think they could be Final Four good in 3 weeks when we talk. But look, that rebounding margin against anybody, good luck, man. Good luck.
You're looking at else. And, you know, just as a side note, I actually felt really great for Joe Girard. And, you know, I don't know how you felt about that.
I like the kid a lot. I've been a fan. I like him.
He gets 2,000 points, 18 points.
Yep.
So efficient. I mean, you saw his stat line, right, Mike?
Yeah, oh, God, yeah.
He didn't chuck up 20 shots to get those 18 points. I think he took 6 shot attempts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
So, like, I felt really good for him coming back. And if there was any booing, I get it. People, you know, giving him the business a little bit. But, man, that kid took a lot of heat here. Okay, for all the years he was here because of what he was doing in high school, 50 points a game and all that stuff. But you know what? I think you would agree, Mike, that kid has maxed out his abilities.
Yeah, he's a player. He's a player.
He's a gamer.
He's a gamer. He's a player. Yep, he's a scorer. He's a leader. He's all that stuff. Yep.
And it might only be on the college level. Maybe he never hits a pro. But guess what? awesome.
That's fine. That's fine. That was Tim Tebow too, though. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, you still
you can't take the awesomeness out of Tim Tebow.
Correct. And for the trouble that, you know, and I'm not saying Gerard accomplished what Tebow did, but you get my point. The comparison is the great college careers still happen, and you can't take it away from them. Speaking of which,
no,
Jerry McNamara also had one of those college careers, and that is where the problem lies. Is that the fan base, you know, they anointed Joe Gerard Jerry McNamara before he walked in the door. And you know how that is with the lacrosse thing.
Oh,
and we're going to get into that later with the number 22 thing and the pressure and anointing somebody before they're even, you know, someone. Yeah. It's very difficult, right? Yeah. It's like you're a center fielder in New York, and all of a sudden you're supposed to be Mickey, or like Bobby Mercer faced that, right? You're supposed to be Mickey Mantle, you know?
I hope for the program, and I definitely hope for Adrian Autry, that the best that they can, they finish the season out strong. Whatever that means, Mike, because let's face it, I think at this point it's a foregone conclusion. They're not going to the NCAA tournament this year. They're just not. They're not a tournament team. They could win the ACC. Anything's possible. I get it. Not likely.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe they get an invite to the NIT or, you know, whatever other postseason. And they should go at that like, hey, these are extra practices. This is extra auditions for the guys on the bench or whatever. So, to me, finish out what you have strong and take pride in what you are and who you are in the team. And even Adrian Autry and his staff, right? Take pride in that. And so I hope that that happens.
Yeah, and so I want to ask you about the future, you know, of the team here in a second. But Joe Girardi mentioned 2,000 points. And you know, look, he went to Clemson, he did his thing, he admitted to Mike Waters in a great interview that, you know, he was a Jim Boeheim recruit, and no disrespect to Red, but he was a Jim recruit, and he wanted to test something else and go somewhere else and, you know, get out of his little bubble of New York State and all that. And he was open and honest, and I would have probably done the same thing. I mean, everybody can do what they want, and he had an opportunity, and he went somewhere else, and he's thriving. But
it's worked out pretty darn well for him.
Yeah, no kidding. And by the way, could you imagine going to college at Clemson? Oh my God. But here's the thing. Wouldn't it have been interesting had he stayed and gotten 2,000 points here? He would have joined six guys with 2,000 points. Can you, Mr. Syracuse, Charlie Lockwood, Hall of Famer, lacrosse stud, and a Jim Boeheim walk-on guy, can you name those six players who have scored 2,000?
Okay, so I just want to make sure I got this right. So there's six.
Six all-time Syracuse basketball players have 2,000 points.
So just so you know, I'm being straight. I didn't realize it was that many, okay?
Oh,
so
you didn't? Okay.
So the answer is probably going to be no, but let me at least give it a shot.
Okay.
Okay? So we'll start with Lawrence Moulton.
Of course. Yep. Leading, all-time leading scorer. Yep.
He was a teammate of mine.
22-34. Yep.
Okay, so we got Lawrence Moulton.
Now think, let me give you, this is not a hint. It's just a reminder. It's not a hint, but think about guys, remember, who easily could have left the NBA, and this is a different era, and guys stayed four years.
Guys.
Yep.
Yeah. So I got to remember the older guys.
Yeah.
Right, so I'm going to throw up another buddy of mine, but I don't know. He's going to be close. John Wallace.
Nailed it. He's third on the list with 2,119. He's third on the list.
Okay, so there's an so we got Derek Coleman.
Nailed it. Number two all time with 2,143. So you hit one, two, and three. Now the other three guys, I think personally, one is completely obvious. The other one is okay. He had way better career than maybe we thought, and the other one is like, for him to be on this list and be the greatest of something else in program history is mind boggling to me.
Oh my gosh, I should know these things.
Well, no, not really. No, one of them you're not going to get, I'm telling you.
Okay, so is Stevie Thompson on that list?
Great guess, close, 44 points short.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, you know who would have been on the list? Remember when Devendorf played that one year? He would have been on if he had gotten, remember that, granted that other year.
Okay. Oh,
he's
man.
Not on it, but remember that year, 10 games played, 2007,
okay, so
2008.
Can you do me at least this favor, and then we got to move on here.
Yeah.
So the last three guys.
Yeah.
Are they like, give me an era at least.
Okay, national championship team. National championship team. Boom, you got two right there.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Jerry.
So one of them, it's either Hakeem Warwick or Jerry Mack.
Well, it's both.
Okay, so I got both those guys. So I got five out of six.
Yeah, but I gave you a little. You had to ask to get Warwick. Come on, you weren't going to get Warwick.
Yeah, so Warrick and McMaster.
Yep.
This other guy.
It goes Moten, Coleman, Wallace, G-Mac, and Warrick. That's 1 through 5. The sixth guy. Who'd you say?
Dave Bing.
No, good one, no. 1,883 points. Nope.
I got it. You got to tell me. I'm not going to get it because you already
Sherman Douglas.
Wow. See, I was thinking assist.
Buddy, and that's why I said it's amazing he's on it because I think he was the greatest passer in the history of the school.
Wow.
Unbelievable, wow. Right?
So he would have been included if he... Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
So, and he's still got some games left. Now, is that a fair comparison? Because I've heard this recently more than I've ever heard, Mike. Is Joe Girard playing 5 years?
Yeah.
Or is it 4?
No, it's because he got the extra. And I know that's the thing when you add games and add years. I know it's hard. That's what we do, right? We have comparing errors. That's why it's hard.
Do you know recently, Mike? I've actually heard of guys, and I'm not so sure it's always sour grapes. But I've heard a legitimate argument made that if guys break a record in 5 years as opposed to 4,
yep,
they should have an asterisk next to it.
Yeah, and I understand that. I understand all that. And that's, you're getting into that now with the NFL and 17 games and more. And look at the playoff rounds in baseball. You're getting into that. Yeah. But here's the thing. Joe Girard, though, if you look at the 2,000 points when he scored it, he didn't do it 32 games later. He did it only 23 games after 4 years. So it's not like the guy, it's not like he needed a season and a half to do it. He did do it 23 games later. And by the way, he should blow past 2,000, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah. I feel, just to wrap it up, I feel really good for that kid.
Yeah, me too.
And you know what? He didn't seem to really put in anyone's face, if you know what I mean, yep, after the game either. He seemed very respectful and very thankful of this community and all the fans. And to me, that was class.
I like him. I like him a lot. Charlie Lockwood with us, the Lacrosse Hall of Famer in his own right here on the ML Sports Platter, brought to you by Camillo's Golf Club and Stanley Law Offices. All right, in closing the SU Hoops talk, and then I got one quick on lacrosse, and we'll say bye. So how do you feel then? Future-wise, you already mentioned red, like transition year. As bad as it's gotten, there is a lot of good. You got to give them time. You got McDonald's kids coming in, blah, blah, blah. NIL transfer portal is a factor. Where do you land? Do you feel good about, next year, do you feel good?
Pretty simple, Mike. I'm just going to say this, and it's sort of a blanket statement with Syracuse Athletics. And maybe it's just because when I was at Syracuse, the football team was playing for big bowls. The hoops team was going for six Sweet 16s, Elite 8s. Those were almost given, okay? To me, Syracuse basketball, without question, should be a tournament basketball team. I'm not talking about NIT. They should be an NCAA basketball tournament team, mm-hmm, that on any, maybe every second or third attempt or whatever, should be able to make a run and be a threat in that tournament, okay? To me, that should be the expectation. So for Adrian Autry, and just being real, and I'm sure he would appreciate this because he's a guy that thrives on pressure, okay? When you're the Syracuse head basketball coach and you're making the money he is in Central New York, the expectation is to go to the tournament. He's going to have 2, 3, 4 years to do that, Mike. He's going to like you said, you got to give him some time. But that window, and 2, 3, 4 years, Mike, as you know, it's like a snap of a finger. Mm-hmm. It goes very quick. Mm-hmm. If he's not producing NCAA tournament teams, and like I said, occasionally making a deep run, like Coach Boeheim did for so many years, he's going to feel a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
So, to me, that's the expectation.
That's fair. That's really, really fair. That's fair. I mean, because you didn't say, a lot of the delusional fans, Final Four. You didn't say that. You said tournament every year, occasional couple, 2, 3. Okay, make that run, round of 32. Maybe a guy comes back. You get lucky, round of 16.
16,
yep.
18.
Yep. And then you look at the Final Four history with Jim. You look at it. They went to 1 before Jim. He went to 5. He coached 47 years. 5 Final Fours, do the math. 1 Final Four every 9 years, knocked on the door.
The tournament almost every year.
Yes, but tons of Sweet 16s, tons of Elite 8s. Tons of them.
Exciting? Do you know what that does for this community?
Oh, my God, dude. And you look at the NCAA runner-ups. You got those, too. You got a couple of those in there. You got 87 and 96 in there, too.
Yeah, so anyways,
That's a fair take. That's very fair.
I'm hoping the best for Red Autry. I love him as a former teammate and friend. And
yep.
I know he's got a tough job.
Yeah, he just came on my show, and you know I love him too. I got to send you the. Did you listen to that interview yet or no?
No, I have not.
Oh, come on, where you been? I thought you were a P1 listener.
I listen to a lot of interviews, but every once in a while I got to do something else.
Yeah, I know, but you got to put me at the top of the list. I mean, come on.
Okay, all right.
All right.
So let's talk Lax, man.
Yeah, let's get into it right here. I know it's early. I know the meat of the schedule is you got Maryland here coming up, right? And this will air before that game. Are you curbing your excitement here? I mean, they look good. The offense, right, sharing the ball, and maybe this team potentially great or elite. And Charlie, a superstar on the roster, you know exactly what that looks like. Where are we at here? How you feeling?
So this is, and again, I think this is pretty simple. If you're a Syracuse fan and you're a diehard and you know what you've been watching over the last 5 and 10, 15 years, you'll know as far as starts go, Mike, the 3-0 start.
Yeah.
They haven't been playing anyone real, real tough, no blue bloods or anything like that. But the start looks different than the start over the last, say, 8 to 10 years.
Bingo.
How they've dominated, the flash and the efficiency. Okay, so those are all great things to build on. Maryland, Army, Cornell, Duke, Virginia, Notre Dame, North Carolina, Utah. But just so you know, to all the teams I just mentioned,
yeah,
those aren't just tournament teams. Those are teams that can win national championships.
That's exactly right.
Syracuse has got the toughest schedule in the country.
Yep.
So I will get super excited once they get through like the next 3 or 4 games to see where they really stand. Maryland this Saturday in the Dome. Maryland is the modern-day Syracuse, Mike. If you look at their last 10 years, guess where they've made a home? The Final Four.
Yep.
Guess where Syracuse hasn't been the last 10 years? The Final Four.
They haven't won it since 2009, the whole thing.
2013, they lost to Duke, okay? So they, you know, we'll just say, you know, they haven't been to a Final Four in 10 years, Mike, which is hard for me to believe.
No, but I'm saying haven't won the title, the whole thing, since 2009, Syracuse.
Have not. It's been an eternity.
Yeah.
So Maryland, the team that's coming in this Saturday,
yeah,
I would say, for the last 10 years, they're the standard of lacrosse,
mm-hmm.
okay? So to me, you beat Maryland this Saturday, and I think it just really says, whoa, maybe Syracuse lacrosse is back.
Hmm.
Because right now, I think people are excited about it.
Sure.
And them blowing people out and all this. And they deserve what they're getting right now. But they haven't beaten a blue blood. Maryland's a blue blood.
Yeah.
This would put them on another level, give them a springboard to the rest of the season. Because, Mike, after Maryland, they got Utah on a Wednesday night. Utah was in the tournament last year.
Yep.
Then they got Army, Cornell. Then they get into the ACC. It's murderer's row. Like, sometimes I look at their schedule and say, they need more cream puffs.
It's the old Big East in basketball, man.
It's crazy.
It really is, dude.
Joey Spolina, you mentioned him earlier.
He's unreal.
He's doing a great job.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you straight up, because I've talked to former players. We've talked about what's going on. Their supporting cast is so legit.
Yeah.
Mike, meaning that they're smart, cerebral IQ guys. I don't think, other than Joey, they have like a household name where it jumps off the page. Their goalie's very good, obviously. And their faceoff guy's good. But as a team, they play so darn well together. I mean, the Colgate game, I'll just give you one example here and I'll shut up. But Colgate beats Penn State first week of college lacrosse. Penn State was the number 4 team in the country. Huge upset. They come to Syracuse 2 days later. They play like this funky zone where Mike Powell, Joey Spolina was behind the cage with nobody guarding him, Mike. Mm-hmm. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. He sat back there, and it was like target practice. Mm-hmm. He would pass the ball, nothing crazy, just fundamental passing to guys wide open, and our guys were just picking them apart. But it seems easy, and you say, well, Jesus, anyone could do that. Well, no, that's not how it works. You actually do need guys that can finish and finish plays. They have those guys now.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I love offense, of course.
Yeah.
So their offense, I think their offense, Mike, is probably going to be top 3 in the country, if not the best, this year.
Wow.
It's in between the lines, and their defense, that's going to be the question marks as we get through the season. So I'm super excited, but I would say it's tempered because they haven't played the big guys yet. We're going to know a lot about Syracuse lacrosse in the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Well, I'm going to have you back on. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do the video one when we're going to do that one next. Yeah.
Yep. I'll make sure I shave and I got my suit and tie on. And
oh, I was hoping. Nice I was tie. Hoping. No, I was hoping. I was hoping facial. I was hoping some gruff and a swimsuit and no shirt. No shirt. No shirt. Okay. Drinking a beer.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah. No
let
shirt.
Me, let me hit the gym here for the next.
No shirt. Drinking a beer and swim trunks. That's what I want.
Yikes. You know. You'll lose a lot of people on that.
No, no, no. You're thinking. No, I'm going to gain them. You don't know what our society does these days. I'm going to gain them.
What's that? Yeah. Hey, Mike. What's the upside there for me? I'm just curious.
help me. You just. You know what? You probably go up even a level than where you were. You know. Come on. No.
Gotcha.
No. Gotcha. I'm kidding. You know what though? I mean, goodness, God. 34. I mean, they scored 54 goals, man. I don't care who you're playing. 54 goals.
They're efficient, too. You know, some of their guys aren't even playing in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and Colgate's a top 20 team. I mean, it's not like they played, you know, right? I mean, they didn't play a D3 squad.
What I'm saying now is just the polls came out this morning, Mike.
Yeah.
Syracuse is 5 in the country. Maryland's 4.
Sure.
That's all you got to need to know.
Yeah.
And Maryland has won multiple Final Four
they're
games,
unreal.
Multiple championships. They're the standard. They're the measuring stick.
Oh, man. That's exciting. I got to tell you this, though, in closing, I do feel like there is, you know, and Coach Gade obviously brought some of it, you know, when he changed roles, fine. But I think with Coach Jack, that women's team's good, man. Coach Jack, Fran Brown, Red, and Gary. I just, the energy, you know, I love the energy, you know what I mean? Up there right now with those guys and gals.
Just across the board, it seems like it's a fresh look.
Fresh look.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah. I mean, you got Fran Brown running around the dome picking up garbage. Come on, man.
Listen, Mike, I said this to you. We've talked, you know, texted and all that. I've never seen a guy in all my years, and I don't even want to say how many years that is. I've never seen a guy get after it like this Fran Brown recruiting. Ever.
And he's picking up garbage in the facility where they play home games, and he pulled over last week and played flag football with the fraternity.
Now, Mike, here's the $60,000 question.
In his Air Jordans. I had to mention that. In his brand new, in his Air Jordans. He played in the mud.
Mike, can he coach?
Well, I don't know that right now, but when we get to it, we'll figure it out if he can. But right now, for what I know and for what he's done, I like it. Okay, it's mid-February, and I like what I see.
We all do.
We don't know if he can coach, but we can't judge him on that when we haven't seen him. I can judge him on everything he's done and everything he's done. Community, team leader, recruiter, a builder of a roster, his personality, the way he cares. Yeah. He checks every freaking box so far. Good God.
Yeah. No, I'm excited about it. And like you said, hey, these things happen with transitions, Coach B to Brad.
Yeah.
It's just like, how do you handle the adversity? Because it's adversity right now that those kids and the coaching staff's dealing with.
Yeah.
How do they get through it?
Yeah. Well, this was great. Charlie Locke with the Hall of Famer in his own right. Obviously, he knows a thing or two about winning from West Genesee on up to Syracuse and Team USA and the whole deal. Always love our conversations. The 2015 USA Lacrosse Hall of Famer, of course. And Charlie, we're going to do this again. We're going to do it probably on video. I can't wait because I want to talk to you about a lot of the stuff you just ended with. We'll blend in some culture talk. We'll see where the Hoops team is, the Lax team is at that point, and I'll talk to you down the road, man.
Yeah,
and my phone's always open. I got unlimited data for you, okay?
Yeah, definitely. let's let the Lax team get a few more games under their belt, and they're going to be meaningful ones, and then we'll circle the train back around, and we'll see where we're at.
At CH Insurance, your family is our family. We take pride in protecting you, your loved ones, and the things that matter most with the best personal coverage at the best premium. From home and auto insurance to boat, motorcycle, renter's insurance, CH finds the exact coverage you need without breaking the bank.
They believe in their community and care about those they do business with. I have both personal and business policies with CH, and there's never a doubt they're in my corner.
CH Insurance, in your corner, every day, every way.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We'll be right back. You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.